I found, our stories to be kind of similar in a way, and they weren't spot on similar, the same. And that's what makes it beautiful, is our stories aren't the same, but they're similar.
Unrooted is a podcast by the Indigenous Foundation focused on centering Indigenous voices and stories. Through Unrooted, we hope to dismantle systems of oppression and uproot the deeply ingrained issues and racism that exist against Indigenous peoples to this day. We hope to share intersectional, holistic perspectives through our discussions with Indigenous and Afro-Indigenous advocates and changemakers. Hello, Buju, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Unrooted. My name is Casey McDonald. I'm from what is now known as Ontario, on the traditional territory of the Haudenosaunee and Anishinaabe people. I am part Anishinaabe, actually, from Kettle and Stony Point First Nation, and I am also part European settler. And today I wanted to bring a little bit of a different episode to Unrooted. I know throughout the last couple years, it's been hard to make connections, especially in online settings, and even hard to make new friends. And having community and other people you relate to is important and good for the soul. So today I'm actually sitting down with two of my good friends, Leo Manning and Jeremy Ratt, who I recently had the privilege of connecting with this past year. Jeremy is actually the host of the CBC podcast Pieces, which talks about mixed identity, self-discovery, and so much more, so you'll have to listen for yourself. He's also a co-host on Leo's up-and-coming podcast titled Words of Medicine, which talks about exploring oneself, gender and sexuality, and what tradition means to Indigenous youth in today's society. I actually listened to Jeremy's podcast when it came out last year in 2021, and it's one of my favorite podcasts. It actually made me cry a couple times, but yeah, I just really enjoyed it. Actually, I met Leo this past year through Outside Looking In, through his work through that, and my work at Fanshawe College actually brought us together in a Zoom classroom, and that eventually led to Leo asking me to be the first guest on his new podcast, which was an honor, with Jeremy Ratt actually as the co-host, like I said, and he was the podcast host of my favorite podcast, Pieces, which I just thought was super cool. So yeah, long story short, maybe longer, but it's a small world, and you'll hear more if you keep listening. But it's 5 p.m. here and 2 p.m. there. They're in BC and I'm in Ontario, what is now known as. And they're actually entering the meeting room, so let's let them in. Hello, Leo and Jeremy. Would you guys like to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Jeremy Ratt. It's good to be here right now. I am Woodland Cree. I'm originally from the Peter Ballantyne Cree Nation in Pelican Now, Saskatchewan, and now I'm here in Vancouver, BC, on the unceded territory of Squamish and Tsleil peoples. Yeah. I work as a journalist, a writer, an actor. I do a little bit of everything. It's a blessing to be on the Uprooted podcast.
Hello. My name is Leo Manning. It's interesting because I don't really know how to address myself in terms of my identity, but I'll give it a shot. So on my dad's side, I'm Cree and Ojibwe and Belgian descent. And on my mom's side, I'm white settler. So from my dad's side, I have ancestry from Saddle Lake Cree Nation in Alberta. And I moved out to Vancouver again. As Jeremy had mentioned, it's on unceded territory, and I had moved out here about three-ish years ago. So I'm originally from Treaty 6 territory in Edmonton, and I came out here to pursue film, but I'm actually moving away to Ontario in the next couple of months. So I'm pursuing a career in social work and social services. So, yeah.
Well, thank you both for introducing yourself. We both
Okay.
also have podcasts. Would you like to talk about those quickly as well?
Yeah. I'm a part of this program through Outside Looking In. They're a non-for-profit organization that empowers Indigenous youth through dance and post-secondary courses. So I'm currently doing a project, and it's for volunteering your community, volunteering in your community, and trying to uplift Indigenous voices. So I ended up making a podcast as my project, and it's called Words of Medicine. And both Casey and Jeremy are actually guests, slash, Jeremy is a co-host of mine. So, yeah, what about you, Jeremy?
First of all, yeah, to mention I'm a part of Words of Medicine. Like, I know I say blessing too much, but genuinely, like, I do feel that way about everything that I'm working on. Yeah, so I am the host, which is a podcast all about the first season was about my Indigenous identity and my journey with that. And the second season is a little bit more about Indigenous identity in general and less about me. And it's just about my exploration of those things. And yeah, it's 10 episodes. It was 2 seasons. It came out last year, like February of last year, the first season. And it's so surreal because it's like changed everything in my life, and it's only been like a year. So yeah, that's definitely the beginning of the stuff I do.
That's awesome. Well, actually, speaking of like stuff you do, I don't know if you guys notice, because I always do, just how Indigenous people and youth, like a lot of Indigenous youth I know, are involved or interested in like so many different things and trying to like get out there, whether it be to help their community or just to explore their own interests. So yeah, I don't know. I guess why do you think that, or why do you guys like to be involved in different things?
Yeah, I can't speak as a majority by any means, but from my experience, like, I think it's a combination of many things. So I feel like now, like post 2010s, yeah, I can actually say post 2010s, it's 2022. That's weird. But I know, right? It's weird. But 2022, like, we're at a time now where there are more and more opportunities that I have now that parents, my grandparents never ever had in terms of being able to seize different kind of opportunities, whether it be a scholarship or funding or whatever else for the arts. And I find that I've been trying to take advantage of that as much as I can because my mom never had those opportunities and my grandfather certainly didn't either. So I think it stems from that, but also it stems from the fact that I'm a Gen Z ADHD prone like human being with a lot of anxiety. So I always, when I was growing up, I knew that what I was going to do was what I wanted to do. It was always going to be in the arts. I just didn't have a solid idea of what. Like in high school, I had every kind of phase where, like, here's my animator phase where I really want to be an animator. Here's my writer phase. I really want to be a writer. My filmmaker phase, my actor phase. I came to Vancouver thinking I was going to be an actor, and I do auditions now, but I'm also working for CBC. And how the heck did that happen? So, a bunch of different things just started happening and piling on. And maybe I bite off more than I can chew, but it makes it fun in that way because now more than ever, you know, like a lot of Indigenous artists or artists of color in general, get to be like a jack of all trades. The opportunities sees so many people online now can just create and be the editor, writer, director, whatever of their projects now, and just be a creative superpower that way. But I don't know. That's what excites me about it personally. But I don't know if that answers the question.
No, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, I think speaking to what I think in one of our episodes, Jeremy, and the Words of Medicine podcast, you had said you were creating roles for yourself in film in terms of like wanting to write about yourself or write as have a character in a story, etc. And I think that's super powerful because, you know, for myself personally, when it comes to like just identity or identities and labels and stuff, you know, I'm not just one person. I don't have one. I think for me, it's also very complicated. And so when I was growing up, I definitely sought out that commonality of, okay, well, this person isn't a part of, you know, I don't know, the popular crowd or the, you know, in a clique or whatever. And majority of those people that I went to school with were white and weren't mixed or POC. And so I always felt like really uncomfortable, or I always felt really in between. And so I didn't feel like I belonged in education or academia, or writing or anything like that, because I never felt like I was necessarily, I fit into either world, whether it was, you know, white settler world or an indigenous world. And so I always try to, you know, seek out whether it was people who kind of fit also in between. And I found a lot of the time people that I connected with most were to do with the arts or had to do with creative outlets, because I found that those people were also kind of on the outside, and they were, and not that it's a bad thing, it just, I felt like I could always be more comfortable and be more relaxed. And a lot of those times my identities and those labels that I fit into did actually also resonate with those people as well. And so, you know, art to me, and arts and filmmaking and photography, and, you know, those are now hobbies to me, but now I can go into social work and connect with people on a different level and know, hey, I've been in your position, or come from a place of like understanding. And so that's why for me, it's a passion to want to work with like young adults and people that are kind of going into themselves and learning and maybe feeling like there's not someone out there that they see in themselves. And so, yeah, that's kind of something that I've really noticed the past few years, is seeing like connecting with Jeremy. Like I found, you know, our stories to be kind of similar in a way, and they weren't spot on similar, the same. And that's what makes it beautiful, is our stories aren't the same, but they're similar. And that's what made me feel like I could connect to Jeremy and reach out. And so, yeah.
And now we're all connected here.
Beautiful.
I was going to add on to what Leo was saying. That's another important thing to mention, that I can't speak for a whole beyond myself really, but when I see what a lot of Indigenous voices feel and the commonality with displacement, the arts is like the perfect medium to fulfill that feeling of displacement, because with film and TV and everything else, you can almost kind of dig your own kind of place in it. You can bore your own hole in it. And that's the thing that resonated with me, was I was like, I was able to make an impact in film and TV and all this. It's a small impact. It's a small crater, but the cool thing is it's like a tunnel where you're just constantly digging for find a piece of yourself. And, you know, that's how I feel. I don't want to say a transformer, because that's really lame, but like, I'm just picking up little junk, building a body. And like, I feel like, yeah. So I always feel like I'm improving in a way. I don't know. That's the versatility, is like you create a space for yourself when you can't find that anywhere around you, right? So that's what I was speaking about with like creating roles for myself. And it almost comes from creative stubbornness as well. Like, I'm going to make this work, God damn it. So, yeah. That was a ramble.
No, yeah. No, I love what you guys said. And the making space for yourself. I really like that. And now, like you were saying, with it being 2022, I guess it's a little bit more easier now to like do that for yourself. So, yeah.
And to be fair, there's like a long way to go with it, right? But like, better than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever. And I do it, I think also people are motivated by it because like, you do it for your family who didn't have the opportunities, right? I mean, that's what I do it for personally. do it for my mom, do it for my grandfather. That's everything. Sorry, I'm going to stop. I'll let you move on to the next question.
No, that's good. I was looking at the questions. I'll ask, are you learning your language at all? How about that? We'll throw that out there. I'm learning Ojibwe a bit because I'm part Anishinaabe. And yeah, but what about you guys?
The undertaking of learning Woodland Cree dialect, something I've been wanting to take up forever and ever, and I keep putting it off, which I feel really... So I only know the basic that I was introduced to when I was growing up, like Danse, Manento, like all these different little words. And that's because my aunties would use these words to this day, still use those words. So they're like nailed into my head, and it's almost like a muscle memory where if I hear them, ears prick up because I think it's my aunt or something when I hear them in TV or movies or whatever, right? So I need to actually take up the undertaking. I asked my cookum about this, right? I asked my grandmother about it, and she's just like, oh, there's an app online where you can learn it. And I'm like, I don't want to learn it through an app. I want to learn it through you. So I thought that was a funny story. So not as of yet, I would love to soon. It's on my list.
Yeah. I personally haven't, I haven't sought out, I think, learning my language. So, you know, I think I'm still at that point in my personal process and identity where I feel like I still don't belong in spaces that are Indigenous. And you know, I think that'll always be kind of, I think, just a whole life struggle of feeling like, hey, you know. But I think while I'm kind of personally in a transition stage in my life and to do with my career and, you know, with, I don't want to say family because I'm 22, but, you know, my partner and my dog and stuff, it almost feels like I'm growing into this person that I know down the line I would be very privileged to be able to get that opportunity to learn my language. And I think it's just not the right time. But my sister, actually, this is funny because my sister is learning, she learned Cree, I think last year or the year before at UBC. So they had a course and they had a Cree elder who taught them from Satellite Cree Nation. So from where we're from, and we weren't related, but she was saying, yeah, like it's super hard. And she was like, I don't even know how to say knife, or like, I don't know how to say, like, you know, she was trying to teach me. And I was like, I don't know what's happening, but she's continuing with it. And so I think seeing her pursue that was really like inspiring to me, and to hear her speak Cree was also really, really awesome. But yeah, I think it'd be really interesting to learn. So
also, I want to backtrack and say that dog and partner, totally valid family in my
family. Yeah, a small little family. I think I like to think of us as like a family unit. And then I'm like, wait, I literally am 22. I feel like, I don't know what other 22 year olds are doing, but I feel like my
family. Take care of your partner and your child.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's funny though, because literally 22 and everyone's at a different spot doing different things.
I have a question, actually. Maybe I don't know if you're open to this, Casey, but if you don't mind if I ask you guys, like, in terms of language revitalization, do you think that there are places and there are courses and there are tools accessible to youth, like to even young adults, even young children, if you think about it, like elementary and stuff, do you think there are places and supports accessible for language learning?
There are, but the one thing that I run into is, and this is a very specific dilemma that I need to sort out myself now, is every time I pick up the undertaking online, Woodland Cree has multiple dialects, right? So the language is similar, but they're just slightly different, that it'll throw you off when you're learning. So I think the biggest example, and I'd be getting this wrong, but if I correct me if I'm wrong, there's a specific way Woodland Cree that is different than Plains Cree, Swampy Cree. They have a TH dialect. The way that goes is everything like neither. Every resource I look up for Cree, it might not be the right Cree that I'm not the right, but I should say by the Woodland Cree that I learned. So that's the thing, is like we're still working on the cataloging of these resources, right? And I don't know. It's either that, or I think an important part of it is also living on the land, which is something I'm so curious about as well, because I haven't been to Pelican Narrows, my reservation, well over 10 years now, and I would love to go back, because there's something about being in Vancouver on my laptop looking up Cree words.
Yeah, that's the same for me. Ojibwe has a lot of different dialects. And then, yeah, I feel like to be on reserve, learning in person through experience is the way to do it. I just found out while doing research, actually, that my reserve, the dialect there, is a mixture between Ojibwe and Potawatomi, which are both Anishinaabemowin. So it's two languages kind of smushed together, which are also the same language, kind of. So it's super confusing, but I'm kind of just learning the basics as well too. So I guess I shouldn't say I'm learning, but I'm learning keywords, and it's nice to recognize some things here and there.
Yeah. Getting them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was a post I saw on Instagram, and it was by an Indigenous influencer or Indigenous creator. And it was a post about reconnecting to land, but also coming from a place of I would say, not like good spirited, but just that if you're going to identify as being, you know, self-identifying as being Indigenous and saying, hey, like I have this ancestry, and then, but actually just like going and doing the work. So in terms of that context of that post, it was like, I'm going to go to my reservation, or I'm going to go seek a knowledge keeper and all these things. And I thought it was really interesting, because I feel like there's no like book, or there's no like plan, or you know, you don't, I didn't know what to do, and I'm still learning, and I'm still, you know, I still haven't even visited where my dad is from, and my Kukum and my Mushum. And I'm just curious, do you guys feel like that there's almost expectations of like learning your heritage or learning your ancestry and being like, okay, well, this is what I should do versus what I want to do, or versus what I feel like I should do, kind of thing, you know, like. Do you feel pressure at all?
This is what I struggle with, definitely, is the determining what I want versus the responsibilities that I feel in myself as well. And that's something that I speak about when it comes to learning about my family and people, and my mom and everyone else. Like when I was doing pieces, it was really just laying out the facts, because I don't know what the expectations would be. I don't know who I am. Let's just lay out the story here, and we're gonna see what's going on. I think of like, it's like a cartoon where I'm like adding the train tracks as the train's moving. Yeah. I'm trying to figure things out. And I just find that what I'm trying to learn now is how to balance things that aren't related to my, you know, where I come from, why that's important.
Yeah, I find I definitely relate to that. And yeah, what my responsibilities and wants are. I don't know. I feel like reconnecting is like a big thing right now, and what is reconnecting versus connecting and all that. And I do not get overwhelmed by it, but I guess I'm an anxious person as well. So I tend to overthink. I don't know, I guess to start off how I think about it, growing up like in elementary and stuff, I grew up and live off reserve now. But I went to a Catholic elementary school where I'm pretty sure me and my sister were the only Indigenous kids that I know of. But yeah, so I didn't really say I was Indigenous or act like I was. I don't know how you act like you are. But like my mom would come home, I'd be like, we learned about Indigenous people today. And she'd be like, oh, did you tell them you're Indigenous? I was like, no. But kind of getting more into college and having the supports of like the Institute of Indigenous Learning. And actually one of my first friends was from my reservation. But now like I do more identify as being Indigenous and stuff. I grew up as well visiting the reserve. I was grateful that I live about 2 hours. So I got to go to powwows and see my family. But now that I do identify like as Indigenous and stuff, and like my people from elementary school know, because I feel like they didn't really before, I feel like there's not that pressure from them anymore. Like, I don't care what other people think, I'm Indigenous, I'm proud of it. But now there's kind of that pressure from kind of still them, but also everyone else, like that pressure to do everything right, I guess, and not overstep, and not take space where other Indigenous people should be taking up that space. So yeah, there definitely is pressures. And I definitely feel like there should be some unspoken rules about reconnecting, obviously. But yeah, those are my thoughts.
It almost feels like there was someone I was talking to and they were like, unfortunately, I don't qualify for this. And they were like, I'm also, you know, getting into, I mean, I don't really want to get into it just because it's kind of essentially a rabbit hole. But he was saying, well, you know, I'm this percentage and I don't qualify for status. So if you do have status, you're kind of lucky. And I was like, so many times I've thought about actually giving up my status and just saying, you know what, I don't want to be a part of this part of the, you know, the government and stuff like that. But one time this lady had mentioned to me, she said, don't give it up. You should keep it, like your ancestors and your, because I'm BC 31, so my Kukum had actually gotten her status taken away. And so she just said, don't do that. Like, it just will undo a lot of work, I think, and sacrifices that your ancestors did give to actually obtain it or keep it. And, you know, it's kind of like one of those topics where I don't know everything about it, and I can't speak to it essentially, but you know, it's one of those things where I feel almost ashamed to have status, and also kind of like my mom growing up, she's white, but she always said, don't tell people that you have status. Don't tell people you have status. You know, it could be something that could get you in trouble. And I never really understood that until I got older, because she just said, not everyone has status. And I was like, oh, I don't really get this. So I don't know if you guys ever went through that where it was kind of like people were telling you, oh, this is kind of what qualifies you to be Indigenous or what doesn't qualify you to be Indigenous. And I don't know, I thought it was a little ridiculous, but.
Yeah, I mean, the mix up of identifiers with the whole thing I addressed in the podcast. My family was going by this outdated misconception about Métis peoples and that it meant mixed. And that was a whole thing that I had to not deal with. But one thing I had to come to terms with was the fact that, you know, my entire family was telling me, you're Métis, you're Métis, you're Métis. And then I finally bring it up into the world and it's like, oh wait, that's not right. Okay, time to learn. And that's really, I feel like a fool, and I still feel like a fool to this day. But the important part is that I need to take responsibility for that. And then I kind of step back from that term and then just embracing who I am and doing little things for my own identity. I don't know if this is related at all, but I actually started mirroring the video on my Zoom so I can see myself the way other people see me. And I see my hair and I see my face and I see these like crooked eyes that I have. It made me realize for a second, oh, I have my mom's eyes. Because she too is self-conscious about me. I thought that was funny. But it was just a little moment where I had that, where I was getting used to face people. Like, other people see me this way. Like, the letters on this sign here aren't reversed, right? So it's like, you know, when I'm able to look at myself in the mirror, I see elements of my mother. In terms of status cards, always me, but I never thought about it until much, much later, when it was like what Leo was talking about, the greater implications of like how people perceive that. And you know, as I was getting older, I realized it was something that I was choosing to hold on to for my own sake, because it's just something that my mom does and I'll do it. And I don't know. So I think that's how I see identity now, is it's balancing my love for my family, but as well as the responsibilities of talking about these identities and these definitions.
I see we've almost been about 45 minutes, so.
Ooh, I have one more we can close out on.
Perfect.
What's one thing you think we all have in common? Be a few things that you think we all three of us have. I think a good example is like, I love the openness, the fact that he was able to just DM me out of the blue after listening to the podcast, spiraled into this thing, but all of a sudden Leo gets me in touch with Casey, and then Casey's on words, all that kind of stuff. That's the stuff I appreciate, the openness to just reach out, the ability to
I love it. It's not a small world, I guess. It is at the same time, but it's crazy how people meet each other, I guess. But it's awesome. For some reason, the first thing that we all have in common for me was compassionate, for some reason. I guess that's the vibes I get from us all. But also, I want to say, like, is it imaginative a word? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's accurate, but
imaginative.
Yeah.
Creativity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, and obviously, we've known each other for a very short period of time, but it feels like
Leo's like, I'm not your friend. Don't mix this up.
This is me breaking up our friendship. No. No, but it definitely feels like, I don't know, like a weird sense of, and maybe weird's not the right word, but a feeling of a long connection between like Casey, for example, and then Jeremy. Like, it just feels like, although it's been a short period of time connecting with you guys, it feels like for some reason I heard Jeremy's podcast and it just, all these things connected, and then it just feels like it was meant to be, and it was what came into fruition. And, you know, I think things do happen for a reason. And I think this was one thing that came about. And I don't know, I guess the whole point of, I think originally the podcast that I had made was to, because I did feel like lonely, and I did feel like, hey, I need a connection and I need friendship and I need kinship. And I was hoping through the podcast that I would find that. And I feel like, this is super corny, but I feel like, but I feel like I found that. Yeah.
That's
really that.
Heart to heart.
I appreciate the sentimentality. Embrace that. Nothing can happen. Like, I think a lot of people, or a lot of Gen Z people, are afraid to be unironic about those types of things. Right? So I love it when people are able to be a little bit mushy sometimes. It's good. Honestly. We need more reciprocity, especially when talking. Right?
So. All you need is love.
All you need, honestly, is love.
But yeah, I guess on that note, thank you guys so much for chatting with me. I enjoyed it, of course.
Thanks, Casey.
So I just wanted to say chimiigwech to Leo and Jeremy for joining me today on Unrooted, and chimiigwech to anyone listening in. Reflecting back on the conversation we had, and even the one we had on Leo's podcast, I'm just super grateful to be able to have people to have conversations with, and also be able to share it with people who listen to Unrooted to help create that feeling of connection and community. So again, chimiigwech for listening, and if you made it this far, you're deadly.